Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, which has already been read. So what if I told you that you are right now currently sitting inside of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Grand Mound, Iowa, and it's 10:18 in the morning, and you participating right now in divine service for, if I told you that, would you disagree? Would you disagree? And if I told you that I am currently preaching a sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, would you tell me that I'm not? You have a father, right? And you have a mother, and your mother is your mother. And your children are your children, right? Like I said in the Sunday school opening this morning, we're talking about ontology. Ontology. It's the study of existence, being, becoming, and reality. And that kind of talk has been around for a long time. It's been around for a long time because early on, people drifted or ran away from God, and with that, they ran away from the answers to life's basic questions. How did I get here? What am I supposed to be doing here? Where am I going when I die? All people, all places, all times ask those basic questions. And you know what? Some things just are. Just are. So going back to Aristotle and beyond, the natural man has observed that some things just are. You just are here today because of doing what you do, and so am I. We just are. There's no debate about that. Some things just are, and you have no choice on other things. Mothers, fathers, children, your cousins are who they are. Substances. Corn is corn. Gold is gold. That wood pew you're sitting in is a wood pew. Salt is salt. And if it loses its saltiness, then it is no longer salt. Ontology. Existence. Being. Becoming. Reality. So Matthew tells us that John the Baptizer was preaching about Jesus saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, is at hand." Then Jesus, Matthew tells us, went out to be baptized by John, then into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and then Jesus went into Galilee where he began to preach, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven, himself, is at hand." And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. So I think if I'm sitting in church in the first century, participating in divine service, which looks a lot like this service, probably at somebody's house, and I'm listening to Matthew, and he's telling me that Jesus went out and was preaching, I think I'm wondering what Jesus said. What did he say? When he was preaching, what did he say? We heard it a year ago. Hear it every year when All Saints is observed. An example here of what Jesus was saying. The first sermon recorded by Matthew of Jesus. Luke records another different sermon on the plain that sounds similar. And in this first sermon that we have a record of in Matthew, Jesus tackles ontology. Tackles ontology, speaking about existence, being, becoming, and reality. Some people call it a state of being. A state of being. So the answer to that question that the elder asked is, who are these people? Jesus says, you are blessed. Jesus says, you are blessed That's your state of being. That's who you are. You are blessed. And in his first sermon, he makes that point several times. That's who you are. That's who you are. You know, I said I started doing Facebook groups. These are people who are strangers, but who share my interests, and it's nothing personal, because sometimes Facebook can get personal. Heard about that shooting death in Davenport out in West Kimberly, I think about a year and a half ago, in the paper. It turns out that she tangled on Facebook with a young man she knew. He didn't like it, and he sought her out. That's pretty personal. You know, we did the gap. I put it on Facebook. The great Allegheny Passage. Bike trail, bike ride. And there was a group. And we joined that group before we left. We got to know some things that were helpful. We got off, or I did, because most of the pictures there were people holding their bikes up saying that they'd finished the trail. We didn't get to do that. The last couple miles of the trail for us was riding through downtown Pittsburgh in a pouring rain. That was fun. And I'm on the German history and culture. There's a lot of self-love going on there with the Germans for themselves. And English cottages. They're all pretty. Not an ugly one in the bunch. And I'm on the Catholic saints of the day. Catholic saints of the day. I'm a lurker. I don't say much. I just listen and learn. And of course they mean Christian saint of the day. And I'm also interested in those exemplary Christians who have gone before me. But a lot of people on the group don't quite get that coming from a Lutheran. That's why I lurk. That's why I don't say anything. One time they were talking about priests being married or not. And somebody said that the pastor can't be married because he has to go to emergencies. Well, I came out of lurk mode. I said, I'm a Lutheran pastor. And I've been married for, she was very, very young when she got married. And when an emergency comes up, I go to it. Crickets. 4th of July, several years ago, I was smoking, having a family gathering. In-laws here from out east got a phone call, got an emergency. Said to my brother-in-law, Jim, you're in charge of the smoking. He's capable. And I went. Got back 3 or 4 hours later, nobody batted an eye. Now, if you look in the front of the hymnal, pages XII, that's 12, through XII, 13, there's a heading, commemorations. And if you look in the hymnal, don't do it now, you might recognize some of those names, Isaiah, Ruth, Ezekiel, Patrick, missionary to Ireland, commemorations. But you probably don't recognize commemorations for names like Johann Gerhardt, Perpetua and Felicitas, Cyprian of Carthage, or Monica, mother of Augustine. So I checked again on Tuesday. My name is not there. Neither is your name there. If you look at the front of the hymnal on page XI, that's 11, under the heading Feasts and Festivals, is a shorter list, and you see events commemorated, the conversion of Paul, the purification of Mary, presentation of Jesus, and names that are more familiar, all 12 apostles, Saint Stephen, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Joseph. Oh wait, I saw my name there, and your name too. At the end of that list, All Saints Day, November 1. That's me. That's me, and that's you, and you, and you, and you, and a lot of yous. A lot of yous. Here, there, all over the world, all different times and places, we are those nameless, faceless, non-existent in most of the eyes of most of the world, saints. It means holy people. Part of what John calls A great multitude that no one could number from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Oh, wait. Not yet. Not quite yet. John is talking in Revelation about those who have gone before him and before us, and what he sees in heaven. He sees Christians who have been faithful to the end, coming out of that great tribulation. They're now in heaven with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You know, people don't come to funerals like they used to. It's hard to get off work, and it's always an either or, funeral or visitation. Can't do both of them, I guess. And visitation is easier. Funerals themselves, it's my understanding that the eulogies can be an ordeal. We don't do eulogies, but our service can be hard, especially for the skeptic, the non-Christian, for the uncertain Christian, the one who thinks, I think I'm going to heaven, but I don't know, who thinks, I hope there's a heaven, and I hope I get there when I die. Funerals can be hard, and it's easier to skip the funeral. Funerals, by the nature of their being, forces the person who attends to spend about 45 minutes thinking about his own death. And the liturgy frames getting to heaven or not in no uncertain terms. Couple examples. We pray this prayer in the funeral liturgy. Grant that we may also be faithful unto death and receive the crown of life. So if you're not being faithful, you don't want to hear that. But there it is. Later on, we talk about a reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Implied, if you don't die in the faith, there will be no reunion and the rest. Perhaps fearing those words. And the preacher may even talk about how a Christian gets to heaven and the rest don't. And the family may even put off any services at all, quote, until a later date. That's translated never, because what's the point? Or they may do the celebration of life, which means that this life is all there is, or at least this life is all we know for certain. And for us, that's not really the case, is it? So, All Saints, this is our day. The day we remember those like us to most, nameless, faceless, unknown, who live out our lives in our various Christian vocations, born into sin, baptized into Christ, receiving absolution in the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, like countless Christians have for the last couple thousand years, and then the Old Testament saints before them were part of that group, All Saints, the communion of saints. So you live that mostly anonymous life. But then you get a nice send-off right here. And I'll talk about God. And if I know you, I can talk about you too. I knew Ron Brick. And I said about Ron Brick, Ron lost his life shortly after birth. In the waters of holy baptism, he was buried with Christ. He died to sin, and his ticket was stamped to participate in the resurrection of the righteous. He died to sin, but that doesn't mean he didn't sin, and nobody knew that better than Ron. He died to sin, was made alive in Christ, and it showed. He had things to boast about, but I never heard him boast. I don't know what you saw. I saw a refreshingly humble man who was thankful for even the smallest of blessings from God, and he had some. I used to see him every Sunday. That was his spot, right down from Dean and Donna. Then he missed here and there. Then he got sporadic. And then I was going over to see him at his house, and people left his spot open. And then one couple tried out his spot, and we joked about it. I told him, "Ron, there are people sitting in your spot. It's a nice spot." He laughed and gave permission. It's okay for people to sit in his spot. He liked to laugh. I like to laugh. That works. If I know you, and I knew Wilma, don't know that USDA, don't know that it was USDA certified organic, but she worked at it. She talked. She liked to talk family, church, the direction the country's going, didn't like it, and her and Einar. You can tell a lot about a woman by the way she is with her husband, especially the way she is with her husband when he's totally dependent on her. You might look at that and say, well, she took care of him, but it wasn't that. It was more than that. What I saw in the way she was with Einar was a woman who had early on thrown in her lot with this man, and he had thrown in his lot with this woman. Respect, love, compassion, affection to her by them, it just came naturally. I don't think she ever thought of herself as taking care of her husband any more than she had taken care of him in other ways, and he had taken care of her as well. She kept busy. Insert Proverbs 31. They kept busy, raised a family. She loved her children through the good times. I'm pretty sure there were bad times. Family issues? If you have a family, you have issues. And how do you stay married for well over 70 years till death do you part? Well, you stay married. That's how you do that. Oh, and she was in church every Sunday too, until she wasn't. And both of them, as well as Marie, and Joyce, and Jean, and Inga, and the rest, them we remember today, and all who came out of the great tribulation, that means life in this fallen world, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, but they shall feast with us first here and then in heaven forever. So if I say that you are intelligent, you're handsome, pretty, tall, short, if I say those things, I'm not telling you to do something. When Jesus says that you are poor in spirit, mournful over the death of a loved one, meek, it means having your head on straight, one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, who is merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, he's not telling you to do something. He's telling you who you are. Because of Christ in you, that's who you are. You're blessed. Yeah, Jesus knows all about ontology. And ontologically, he says that you are blessed. That's your state of being. Who you are. What you are. He also says that he's your father. You're his children. The church is your mother. You're a child of God. That's who you are. That's what you are. And I suppose that's why you find yourself currently sitting inside Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Grand Mound, Iowa, at 10:37 on November 7, participating in divine service. Those things that he says in the Sermon on the Mount that precede our state of being blessed, some of those things he talks about are not very pleasant. And some are downright difficult. And he's reminding you that it is, in fact, because of those very things that you are, in fact, blessed. Because other people don't experience those things. And it's one thing to say you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. That's part of life. It's another thing to tell you that what may look to you like bad days, maybe not. Maybe not. In fact, we know that maybe those bad days serve to remind us that this is not the end game. In fact, those days are days when we find ourselves turning our gaze upward to heaven, and that's a good place to be looking, knowing that our Father in heaven is listening to our prayer. That's blessed. Not everybody knows that. Knowing that He is a loving God who wants only good for you, that's blessed. Not everybody knows that. Knowing that no matter what here, for all the saints like you, there awaits a rest. And that's blessed. It's your state of being. It's who you are, according to God. And that's good news, isn't it? And because of whom we are and whose we are, it's what we do. And then we take it out there. That's where we live. And it's called ontology. The study of existence, being, becoming our reality. So next time somebody tells you to have a blessed day, just say, I am. That's who I am. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.